dreaming about starting a campus in Scarborough. Always wanted to start. And I remember him always saying, who lives in Scarborough? And, you know, like hundreds of people would put their hands up. And we just waited and waited. And now look at you. And you know what I love about you guys is you feel like family. I was kind of chuckling to myself. You actually like each other. You know, how many people have been in churches where, you know, you just like, oh, great, you know, yeah, my church. But, you know, I turn to your neighbor and say, I like you. But, you know, it is very key, isn't it? You know, you guys really, the sense of, well, first of all, the presence of God is heightened in this place, but also the sense that you guys are family. So I know that when you go into your new location, that you're just family moving to the next level. I was telling somebody when I arrived, I was here early this morning, just so you know. Stephen went to Ajax. I was here at 9:15. But just so you know, I do get to church at 9 at airport, between 9 and 9:15, so it's not a big deal. But I just want you to know, I was here early. I was like, is there a coffee shop? You know, but it was fine because your team, just even the team that was here setting up, you don't realize that there's a team that comes very early in the morning. The worship band had already actually plugged in all their cords and had everything ready, and we're just getting ready to start. The nursery was set up. Lisa was doing dishes. You know, there was just a lot of, yeah, I know. Oh, she said, shh. But anyways, I know that a lot of people do things, and they do in the, you know, the hidden place, but I just want to thank you, you know, for making this place like a home. So give yourself a hand, and those that come, I realize that God calls everybody to do everything, you know, but you've taken it on as your own. I always tell people that when it's your baby, you'll do anything, won't you? When it's your children, when it's your family, you'll make sure that everything is clean. You'll make sure you pick up the garbage. You'll make sure that it's nice for your family and it's nice for the visitors. So I bless your hearts, and I really just thank God for your hearts. Today, Stephen, it actually worked out well. Stephen usually comes into Scarborough every Sunday to come and pick up his mom, because she actually lives at a long-term facility right on Ellesmere. Leisure World, and so he comes and gets her. That's why I'm at church so early. He drops me off, and then he comes and gets his mom, and then he comes back so that she can come to church. And so he was excited today. John and Alex Tanyan, it's John's birthday next week, so I think he's pretending that he doesn't know that there's going to be something after, but I think somebody sort of told him. So, but he's going to be 50, so that's nice. Actually, Ajax was the first church, our first campus that started. So I bless you, and I thank you for the worship team. I hadn't heard this worship team, and so you guys are incredible. I'm looking at you're all over the place. But how about you? You know, when you're starting churches, you know, one of the things when you're at the airport, you've got the people that have been there for many, many years and have been playing. And when you start a new church, then you're like, well, where's the band? And so you have to develop the band. And so I think Sandra, you know, like you're the leader of that band. So bless you and the worship. Oh, the lady at the side here, your voice sounded, oh, there you are. Doesn't she have a, you know, I wish she could sing me to bed every night. Her voice is just like, I mean, I'm sure you don't realize just the beauty that comes out. And I could just say that, I know, because if I miss somebody, you know, I've got the mother heart here. But this guy here, I mean, he said, yes, you were incredible. He's incredible. And then his wife beside him. And then Jackie playing the drums, and Sandra getting up there. I'm thinking, man, you guys are good. So I just want to, and Jason, yes, Jason. I complimented him on his hat today. I liked his, I was telling him my son has a hat like that, but he's actually very gifted. You have to know Jason, actually, believe it or not, is a great speaker. And so hint, hint, if you ever need somebody to speak, he just finished the School of Ministry, and on Friday nights we have different teams that come and help Stephen and I on a Friday night, and so Jason had an opportunity to speak. I think it was like 10 or 15 minutes, wasn't it, Jason? And he was good. He, you know, had his hands in his pocket. But, you know, but I tell you, he just went right for it, and everybody's just like, wow. So I remember emailing Elsie Nirmeshan and saying, boy, he's a good speaker. So I'm just saying it out loud now. So he has no excuse. If you want somebody to speak in your church, just ask Jason. He can speak from his heart and really just, I can't even remember what. Did you talk about the father heart? Healing, that's right. And you know what the amazing part is? When he started speaking about healing, all of a sudden the Lord just downloaded a whole, like a new thought. You know, and he gave an example. So, but I know it went, his mommy would have been so proud. I know. She said, I knew he could speak, yeah. But I'm just telling you. Because if mothers say, I know my son can do that, then it doesn't, you know, then they're like, oh, mom, don't do that. So let's turn to Matthew 13. And we're just going to read one verse, but Matthew 13, 31. I think where Elsie and Ramesh went is nice and warm, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So they're coming back tomorrow. Yeah. Last night I was shoveling my inch, you know, of snow, but there was a lot of ice, and we have neighbors. They're in their 80s, so I was salting their side of the driveway so they wouldn't slip. But I don't know if any of you saw the news last night. Was it Papen somewhere? There was like tons of accidents, people sliding all over. So, but we've had an incredible winter, so I don't want to complain. I want to thank God. Yeah, but let's just read Matthew 13:31. It said, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden's plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And I just wanted to speak a little bit on that. But, you know, a mustard seed, I remember, I think it was Jerry Plunkett that spoke at our church one Friday evening, and he actually brought in a mustard seed, and I'm going to talk about that later. But just how tiny it is, and doing research on it, just to see what the plant actually does is incredible, and I'll mention that later. But I remember about 10 years ago, my mother's mom had passed away, but she gave some final words, and we were very blessed as a family because she had 50-odd grandchildren, plus great-grandchildren, but they would have been too small. So she had 10 children and 50. I'm the oldest of the girls in the group. I don't even know all of my cousins because there's so many of them, and they live all over. But I remember her saying to me, you know, there's always another side to the story in a situation. And I was thinking about seeds. You know, oftentimes when we look at a seed, when we look at a person as a seed, as a treasure, and today I want to talk about treasures, there's always another side to them. You know, things that happen in their lives don't define them just for that moment. And so I just wanted to start that off and say that when you're, the kingdom of heaven is about people, isn't it? It's about people's lives getting changed. And so when you're looking at that person, when you see them, it's important that you see them as a treasure. It's important that you see them as a seed that the Lord, you know, because they all started out as a seed. We all started out as a seed, didn't we? We were a seed when we were planted in our mother's womb. And it's important that we see people that way. And the reason that my grandmother had done that is because that whole side of the family had come from terrible abuse and anger. And people were just, you know, devastated. And yet she was willing to love no matter what. She was willing to love the ones that had done terrible things, and she was willing to love the ones that were going through things. And I think that's probably one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever received from anybody in terms of when you look at somebody. So when you see somebody, I want you to picture them as a treasure. I want you to say, Lord, how do they sparkle? You know, what makes them them? Ask them questions. I love asking people questions. I learned that from one of the pastors that used to be in our church years ago, but he would just come out and ask a direct question. So he would say, you know, what's your favorite chocolate chip or what's your favorite cookie?
Chocolate.
Okay, but is chocolate your favorite cookie?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a word of knowledge, wasn't it? Okay. Sandra, what's your favorite fruit?
A watermelon.
Watermelon, yeah.
Banana.
Oh, you can only have one. banana. Okay. You know, kind of thing. And you find out those things about those people. You know, one thing that I love about Lisa, Lisa, wave your hand. Lisa works in our accounting office. Just give her a hand, please. I catch the fire ministries. She is a treasure to all of us there. She is, and I'm sure she's a treasure to you, but I just want to brag on her for just a second. You can go red, you know, and she's like, no. How many people that, you know, I get to speak, so I get to brag on you, but she is such a giving person. You know, when she walks into that office, she just demands that everybody's going to be up. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. How big is God? And I am so thankful for that. But she does it in such a gentle way. You know, she'll come in and she'll go, guess what, Sandra? You know, when the Lord said this and I was listening to this, talk, you know, from, she just listens to lots of Christian. When you work in accounting, you have to listen to it. Because all you got is numbers in your head. But she looks at that and I think, what a blessing and what a treasure to the ministry. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many of us in our workplaces or in our homes, people can say that about us. You know, like, are we a treasure? Are we positive? Are, you know, no matter what's going on, are we going to, like, really press in? Are we going to, when somebody's being cranky, I'm just using a nice word, but I'm sure that you all have words, but when somebody's being cranky, and, you know, how many people have ever been cranky? Oh, look at only a few confess that one. But, you know, at least when, like, if Lisa was cranky, I would know there was something really wrong, because really her personality is to be joyful and happy in all things. And so, whoops, I just wanted to, that wasn't even part of my notes, Lisa. There you go. We want to give you a raise. We really do, Lisa. I'm not in charge of that. God is. Okay. Well, treasures. I love treasures. I love finding things. You know, how many people, there's a lot of shows on TV right now, Storage Wars, I know. How many people, anybody watch Storage Wars? Where you go into these old, I just love it, don't you? I mean, the guys alone are funny, but where you go in and they bid for a storage compartment, I guess they haven't paid their bill for a long time, and so now it belongs to the people. And so you open up, and there's amazing things in there. It's incredible. You know, you watch the Learning Channel, and there's a lot of stories about shipwrecks and the things that happen in life. But, you know, one of the most amazing stories that I've watched, and now the content of the movie is not all good, just so you know, I'm not for that part, but is the Titanic. Did anybody ever watch that movie? Stephen, I remember, once goes, yeah, we're going to go watch the Titanic, but I already know the ending, the ship sinks, you know, he just kind of... But just actually the beauty and the history in the movie was the exciting part. So if you're going to go to, actually it's going to come out in 3D again, which I won't go and see because it'd be too scary for me. But I think of the Titanic and when it sunk. I know for Stephen, it was an interesting movie because it really hit him in a different way, a very unusual way. You know, when we came out of the movie, there was two couples. We were giving our comments on the movie. And none of us really talked about the actual treasure that was in the boat that was found at the bottom of the ocean, which I'll talk about in a second. But people were talking about different experiences. And that night when Stephen went to bed, all he could think about was how devastated he was that because of his ancestors that were English, how they treated the poor. So it's interesting how people can, you know, what they remember about different things and what they remember about the Titanic. The movie portrays the excitement of the adventure, of having a ticket. I know if you watch the movie, the part of it was like, oh my goodness, you know, the fact that people gave away their life savings to get on that boat, to be the first. And so the experience of that, just getting on that boat was incredible. When I think of it, whether you were rich or poor, you could get on that boat. And I was thinking when I wrote that, I said, whether we are rich or poor, God has given us place in his heart, hasn't he? You know, which is incredible. And it's amazing how when you watch films, how really the scriptures and God are in those movies. I don't normally watch a lot of movies, just so you know. but I remember that movie in particular. I remember, I don't know if anybody saw that, before that movie came out, they actually, remember the Ontario Place, what do you call the screen? The IMAX. Did anybody ever see the movie where they actually did the, yeah, that was incredible, wasn't it? They showed the actual dive of going down into the bottom of the ocean with all the technology and the camera work to get to the bottom of the ocean. I was really excited about it. I remember they have this little submarine that they go down on, and it's got all the lights and the camera because it's pitch dark down there. But when they got to the bottom, they began to see things. They began to see people's boots and dishes, you know, and things like that. You know, they began to see parts of the boat. And I think that's what made the movie exciting to me, because I had that picture of what it actually looked like to, you know, somebody filming it. And I thought, what a treasure. You know, the memories of the people, who the people were, their lives and what it counted for. I'm sure that there was believers. Do you remember even in the movie, what was the hymn that they sang? Do you remember? At the end, the guys were playing the piano and they were singing a hymn. Yeah, be near my God. Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing. It's amazing, isn't it, in that sense. But so when I think of treasure, I think of the Titanic. I think of the people's lives that got lost, but that actually had impacted many people's lives. And so I think it's always good to remember, that people are treasures, that when you look at people, when you look at situations, when you look at devastations that have happened in people's lives, that they're treasures. I know that even this church, you guys have, I think your first year and a bit, you guys as a minister, as a church, went through a lot of hard times, didn't you? You know, where, you know, people went to be with the Lord, and that was very difficult. And yet now when you look back at their lives, you can see the how precious they were, the treasures that they were. There we go. I need to pray for healing in my eyes. Very good. You know, I'm trying something new. I'm doing this on the iPad. I'm used to doing it on paper, and I highlight everything, but I'm not sure if that always works. Anyways, Mark Stibbe recently quoted, he was at our pastor's conference last week, and he said something very interesting. He said, "The treasures of discoveries are found in the fields of discovery." I'm going to say that one more time. He was just speaking, and he's such an incredible speaker. He's just got a wealth of information. But he said, "The treasures of discovery are found in the fields of discovery." So where's your field? Where's your field? Some of you, your field is you're a stay-at-home mom, or you're working in the world, or whatever wherever you're working, or maybe your neighborhood is your field. But I think it's important to remember, where is your field? Where are you going to discover those treasures? Just that treasures are so important to find. How many people get excited when they find something that they've lost? Now, I just want to give you a clue, pray. Do you ever do that? Oh, where is it? Where are my keys? Where's my purse? You know, I'm always losing my purse. Anybody, any woman? And Stephen always says to me, he says, "Sandra, you've got to put it in the same place." You know, but that's what he, you know, because he puts his wallet in the same place. But he always tells me, "You've got to put it in the same place, because if you don't put it in the same place, then you'll forget where it is." But anyways, I just want to tell you this funny story. Once my kids were little, one day I hope I got this right, but my older son was playing in the sandbox, and he's like digging in the sandbox, and at the bottom of it there was a $10 bill. So he runs in the house and he goes, "Mommy, look, I found 10 bucks. And then we're trying to think, how did $10 get in that sandbox? Found out later it was my youngest son that took it and buried it in the sand. But anyways, but it was my older son's treasure. So that's a hint. I thought it was kind of funny, but you know, you just never think that your kids are, you know, would ever do anything like that, right? Because how many mothers think you have perfect children? I do. I tell my kids now that they're older, I say, you know, just don't tell me. I just want to live like you were perfect. You know, because it's funny when they get older, they start telling things that they did. And you're like, "Oh my goodness, where was I?" And then the mothers are thinking, I wasn't a good parent. Oh my goodness, you know, that's what we do. We think that we've let our children down, but you know, they have to discover their own little lives, don't they? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all the other seeds. Now, the interesting thing is that the mustard seed was very tiny, but it had a great impact. And you know, we might feel that we're really tiny, but we actually have a great impact in the area, and we always have to remember it. I'm just going to read this part. I did a little research, but it says that, the fruit of the seed of a mustard seed provides 700 million pounds of mustard, which is consumed worldwide each year. That's a tiny little seed, 700 million pounds. When I looked it up, I'm like, oh my goodness, can you imagine? In the beginning, when God created all the, you know, the flowers and the whatever, everything that he created, that there was this little mustard seed that one day somebody said, you know what, I'm going to take this seed, I'm going to plant it and see what happens. It says when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. And that's how beautiful it is. And interesting enough, it says mustard is an annual herb with seedlings that emerge rapidly, but then usually grows slowly. How many times have we tried planting something, and the green, it comes out, and you're like, yeah, you know, as a kid, you know, I remember my kids having a little pot, you know, and they would plant something, and you'd always, like, plant grass because it grew fast, you know, because the kids want to see the instant. But the truth is that the seed itself, it comes above the ground, and the plant covers about the bush starts growing in 4 to 5 weeks, and so you can see instantly that there's something there, but it takes a long time to grow. And sometimes the treasures that the Lord has put inside of us take a little bit of time, don't they? You know, when you look at somebody, when you see somebody growing in the Lord, when you see somebody growing in their job, I love watching my kids. I can only talk about my kids, but just because I'm really proud, I can't help it. But when my daughter-in-law the other day sent me a picture of my youngest son, and he's in Bath, England. He's married just over a year now, and she took a picture of him preaching. And he's part of a youth ministry called Joshua Generation at the Bath City Church. And I'm like, oh, yes. Now, you have to know, I was on my knees when he was little. And when he was a teenager, I was on my knees, I tell you. I just kept praying into him and like, he's my treasure. You know, he's all these things, but he just wasn't showing rapid growth in that area at that time. And sometimes that's what, you know, a plant, a treasure is, right? And yet God could see his destiny. God could see what he was. And so the fact that, you know, he lives so far away, which is probably good for him and me, but, you know, because I'd probably be more controlling if we were close. But, you know, now he's married, and he's the husband of his own household. And he's, you know, I was thinking, oh, he'll never be a pastor. Well, here he is. But, you know, sometimes you can't look at circumstances. You can't, you know, when I look at him, he impacts so many people around him, which I think, you know, the one thing about this ministry, and I would say that Catch the Fire in general, all of our campuses, I would say that you're all givers. Would you say that? You're all loving and giving, whether it's money, whether it's time. And that's one of the things, that's one of the seeds that was planted in my son's heart. And so when he went to England, and he began to share, it was a new thing for them. You have to understand the culture there. There's lots of good culture there. I'm just saying there's lots of good stuff, just so you know. But there's stuff where they've been brought up not to be so generous in ways. And so he started being generous. I remember him, when he went there, he had a certain amount of money that was, it was a scholarship or something, that money that was given to him. And he had it in the bank. And one day I said, oh, honey, so how much money is left? And he said, well, nothing. I go, what? You spent it all? No, I gave it away. You know, and he started something new in that church, which I think is, I love him for that. But anyways, a mustard seed. Do you know that the tap root goes 5 feet in the soil? So it's tiny little seed, one of the smallest seeds, but the impact of it is up here, but the impact is even deeper underneath. And so you've got to remember that when you as a person are a treasure, that you plant somebody, when you encourage somebody, it goes a long way. The root goes a long way. We all need to be rooted in the Lord, don't we? We all need to be rooted in the love of Christ. And we all need to be encouraged and blessed. And so I just want to bless you even as a church, even as you begin to transition into a new place, that you begin to encourage the people around you and say, hey, you're really good at that. Some of you will know a little bit of my testimony, but probably not too many. But I remember in grade 3, and I think it was about grade 4, how many people remember those little speeches that you had to do? I don't know if you have to do it anymore. Maybe, you know, the ones where you had to stand up and talk for 2 minutes. And I would get ready at home, and I would practice my, I think I remember doing something. My dad was a firefighter, so I talked on my dad being a firefighter. I did it in 30 seconds. but you know, the reason why I can stand up here is because I've had lots of healing, but also because I've had many people come around me and encourage me. And so all of you, whatever you do, we need to value the gift. We need to value the treasure of who you are. We need to value the treasure of who the people that are around you. So we can always say something good about somebody. Just this past week, we had a gift that was given by somebody in our church. Actually, how to speak in front of people. And I'm not doing anything that he said right now because it's going out the window, but I'm trying. But he, you know, he was incredible. He wasn't a believer. Which was kind of good for us because we got to have somebody outside of where we were speak into where we were. And he was so prophetic. And so I looked at him and I just said, man, you are so right on. And I wanted to say, you are so discerning. You're so prophetic. But he wouldn't know what I had, you know, what I meant by that. But, you know, it's something that the Lord has placed inside of him. And so what I want to encourage you, that when you go into your workplace and somebody wows you with something, and they say something, you know, from the bottom, you know, they do something that is, in God's eyes, is incredible. You just need to tell them. You need to speak into their life so that that treasure, that seed can grow up and it can also be rooted. Because I think when we encourage people, then they believe in themselves even more and they want to learn more and they want to go for it. So the roots get deeper, don't they? They want to go for the more of the presence of God. And I know that our theme is, you know, the kingdom of heaven. And we want everybody. Wouldn't it be great if nobody, I remember years ago, somebody had a vision or a dream about how they were in an area in a city and everybody knew the Lord. Everybody knew the Lord. Everybody had given their lives to the Lord. And that's because, and I thought, that's the way we want it, don't we? We want to know that the possibilities are there. You know, one of the things that, just out of curiosity, the plant height of a mustard seed is 30 to 45 inches. So I don't know how big that is, but yeah, it's big. But how many people have heard of Bethel? I know Lisa has because she watches Bethel lots. But, you know, they have a thing called treasure hunting. Anybody heard of that? And I remember when I heard that, I'm like, when some of the students would come from Bethel and then they would come to our church, they would use this phrase, treasure hunting. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by treasure hunting? Well, they said, we actually go out. First of all, we go and we pray and we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who do you want to talk to today? And so they were connecting with the presence of God, and the Lord was downloading something about somebody. And so they would go into an area of the city, and they all have their areas that they go, and they work for I don't know how many weeks, but they go into that same spot every day. And they would go in, and they would find Otain, and they would just say, hey, you know, and they'd start building that relationship, but they would start seeing them as a treasure. They would start hearing, listening to the voice of God, and they would begin to speak into their lives. How many people saw the movie Nefarious? Anybody saw that? That was great, Jason. If you ever get a chance, just Google it. That's the one where it's about all about the sex trade. We showed it at the campus on Friday night. I mean, I can guarantee you'll cry through the whole thing because it is very devastating. But it's about testimonies of girls that were in the sex trade from some of them even as little girls. And it's actually very devastating. But the interesting thing is at the end of that movie, there's like four or five girls that came out of the sex trade, But you know how they came out of it? One day they're sitting without anybody telling them, but all of a sudden the presence of God comes into the space or the room where they're at, and they get a revelation of the Father's heart. And they give their lives to Jesus. And now they're living for Jesus. This past Friday and Saturday morning, did any of the men here go to the airport campus? Was it good? Yeah. I heard it was really good. There was a gal named Shelley Lubin who, she must have been a porn star in her previous life. And she now goes around and speaks to specifically men, but it's not just for men, but you can go on, if you go on the website, you can hear her on Friday night. But, and she's going to, well, she's preaching right now. I'm trying to think what day it is. But, you know, she must have had a revelation. Now, when you think of somebody who's in the sex trade and is being abused every day, has been taken advantage every day, they're not going to think of themselves as treasures, are they? They're going to think of themselves as being ugly and not worth it. And so, of course, a lot of them are going to take drugs because they just want to forget. A lot of them are going to drink alcohol because they want to forget. But can you imagine the Father's heart coming in a place and coming and meeting them heart to heart, so rich that it literally just pierces through all that darkness, all those walls. And so when I just want to encourage you that when you're looking at people, look at them as treasures. Even though in the natural they might not look so good, or, you know, we might be critical of them because of things, look at them the way God looks at them, because really they're probably looking for a kind word. You know, we've all come from somewhere. You know, we're so blessed as a ministry because we've had so much teaching on the heart, haven't we? A lot of us, I know I wouldn't be here. Probably Stephen and I wouldn't even be in ministry now if it wasn't for the presence of God, if it wasn't for the faithfulness of somebody humbling themselves and saying, all right, you know, show me what this is all about. Show me about the Father's heart. Show me what Jesus did on the cross for me. And it's just important. How many people have heard of Young Wah, you know, the followers' mission? Do you guys go down there? Anybody go down there? Yeah, you go down. It's incredible, isn't it? It's there's the Salvation Army. It's mostly men, though, isn't it? A few women? Yeah, a couple women, maybe. The story of that is that Young Wah, a Korean woman, she actually, her whole story is Part of it's sad, but the Lord has really made it better. She was married to a very wealthy man, and I guess she became a believer or something, and he just didn't love her anymore or something. I don't know all the details, but I guess she decided, you know what, I'm going to make my life. I'm going to do something for God, and she had a passion. She's actually in China right now. She's an intercessor. The Lord tells her, I want you to go to Korea. I want you to go to China. I want you to go somewhere, and she just goes. And she goes undercover, and she literally goes and prays and intercedes. And she did that for Toronto. She came to Toronto, and I don't know whether she was on a bus or driving her car, but she would pass this Sherburn and, where is it? Okay, Sherburn and Queen, which isn't always, there's a lot of stuff happening there. There are a lot of drugs, a lot of everything there. It's not a very nice place. It's probably, if I were to say, hey, let's go down to Sherburn and Queen today. Yeah, let's go. You'd be like, no, I don't think so. You know, let's go at midnight. And you go, no. You wouldn't go at midnight either, you know. But you know what? God's treasures are there. And every day, you know, she would get it. This was many years ago, probably 10 years now. She would get in her car or take the bus, and the Lord just sort of highlighted that area. And there was a park right there. And one day she thought, you know, I could bring a barbecue and some hot dogs. And so that's what she did. The next time she went, she brought one of those little barbecue things, you know, that you put on a picnic table with some hot dogs. And she just said, I'm just going to start feeding those people. And she started doing that. She just started feeding them, and it sort of grew from there. This woman is like, she wants to see them all saved. I mean, she says, say the prayer. She's so funny in her Korean way. She, say the prayer, you know, you need to get baptized, you know, that kind of thing. And they come, and if you've been at the airport, you'll have seen many of them that get baptized. And the stories that they've come from, these men, mostly men that she brings, they used to be doctors and lawyers and mothers or fathers. They used to have positions in life, but something happened to them. They forgot. They lost track of life. They just something happened. They got hurt, and they didn't know what to do with the hurt. And so now they can't function. My ex-brother-in-law actually used to work for one of those places downtown where he used to work the midnight shift, and he would bring in suits from his own closet because there's like a lawyer who used to be a lawyer, but, you know, something happened and got devastated, and then he went in on drugs, and he's living on the streets. He's got a family, but the family, you know, because of the situation, they're not on the streets. You know, sometimes God gives people like Young Hwa, like, you know, people that do treasure hunting. He gives them the passion. You know that for lost people, do you know that God also gives passion for rich people? I remember a number of years ago, there was a couple from Egypt, and their primary focus was to minister to the rich. I'd like to minister to both. No. But, you know, the rich people are just as lost as the poor people, aren't they? They're just as poor as the poor people. That's why you always have to see them on the other side. You have to look at somebody. So when you leave this place, it's so important that you do something. There's a movie called Pay It Forward. I don't like the ending, but did anybody see that? The gist of the movie's nice. But I just don't like the ending. I like a nice ending, you know, because I'm such a heart person. And so when it's a sad ending, I can't, there's no closure in the movie. But so I won't even tell you. But the basis is a young boy decides one day that he's going to do something nice for somebody, and then he pays it forward. I know that people have caught on. People do this all the time. But I did this in the gas station the other day. We need a change, so we went and got coffee. You know, that's what you do. You need change, so you buy coffee. But at the gas station, and there was a guy there, and I said to the lady, and I was trying to be so discreet, and I said, I want to pay for the guy's coffee. What? Yeah, I want to pay for the guy's coffee. Don't tell him. But if he asks, just tell him it's and the funny part, it was me, but Stephen was out there, and I didn't want her to say, oh, the lady wanted to pay for your coffee, because he might think something else. But so I said, I want to pay for his coffee, but tell him it's from the guy out there and me. So when you're looking at people, sometimes the Lord just kind of downloads, you know what, they're precious, they're a treasure. I want to dare you today to do something like that, you know, to encourage somebody, to pay for something little, do something, you know. Sometimes how fun would that be if you went out to eat today and you decided to pay for a whole table? You could do that. But wouldn't it be fun? Somebody did that last Sunday. We went out with our family for lunch, and we invited this couple at the last minute, and they came in a little bit late. But at the end, I'm like, okay, has the waitress come to pay for the bill? And somebody said, no, it's already been taken care of. And I was like, wow, you know, do you know how that makes me feel inside? And so this is saying, you know, for somebody that's on the street, somebody who's rich, however it is, it's important that you look at them as treasures. Let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 to 8. I'm just going to read that. And it says, I, who's Paul, planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I just thought that was neat that, you know, all of us have been called to water or plant. And it's very important that we ask the Lord, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to actually plant a seed today, or do you actually want me to water it? Do you want me to encourage those people and bring them back to life? Do you want me to do something which really would impact their life? Because I really, when I connect with somebody, I want to impact their life. That's just who I am. I want to be able to say something, because I'm a heart person, I want to say something that will connect to their heart, even if they look at me like, you're weird, what's wrong with you? But I know that at the end of the day, what are they going to remember? They're going to remember the weird lady that came up to them and said something, right? How many people remember the weird things? Yeah, I do. I just remember the weird people. I just want you to know that as people, sometimes we can easily look at somebody and go, oh, they're weird. There's something wrong with them, you know, kind of deal. But you know, this is what I've decided to do. Instead of making those comments in my heart, which I repent of, I decide to pray for them. So the ones that give me a hard time, how many people have people in their work right now that are giving them a hard time? Anybody? Okay. Some of them are just like doing that. But anyways, you're funny. Yes, those hard, weird people. You know, those people you just know are just hurting. Have you ever met people that just don't know how to function with people? Because they haven't grown up in that. But they're treasures. They're beautiful. It's just what God wants. I want to read you a story. And I want to recommend that you actually, if you want, but it's called Godvine. Somebody sent me, anybody heard of Godvine? Yeah, some great, I cry all the time. If you want a good cry, go to Godvine. It's incredible. They have these little clips of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when they do the things when the fathers come home from Afghanistan, you know, in the army, and they come into their kid's school. Have you ever seen those ones? And the kid doesn't know, and they're sitting there and they're waiting for this person to, you know, to come in, and all of a sudden they say their name and the kid, oh, daddy. And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm crying. But anyways, that's what that's at. It has lots of teary ones. And I think once I just cry. If I need a good cry, I watch that one. But I just wanted to read this one, and this is called For Richer or Poorer, because really that's how we look at people. And I want you to listen very, very carefully. It's a great story, and it touched me deeply. It said, the wives who lived within the walls of the Weinsberg Castle in Germany were well aware of the riches it held, gold, silver, jewels, and wealth beyond belief. Then the day came in 1141 AD when all their treasures were threatened, and every army had surrounded the castle and demanded the fortress, the fortune, and the lives of the men within. There was nothing to do but surrender. Although the conquering commander had a great condition for the safe release, or had set a condition for the safe release of all the women and the children, the wives of Weinsberg refused to leave without having one of their own conditions met as well. They demanded, this is the women, they demanded that they be allowed to fill their arms with as many possessions as they could carry out, knowing that the women couldn't possibly make a dent in the massive fortune. Their request was honored. When the castle gate was open, the army outside was brought to tears. Each woman had carried out her husband. The wives of Weinsberg indeed were well aware of the riches the castle held. And when I read that, I thought, yes, Lord. You know, what are we willing to carry out? You know, that castle was filled with gold and silver, and back then, you know, it was like the men were going to be gone. They were going to be killed. And the enemy was thinking, well, we'll be generous, we'll be nice. But, you know, God is bigger. God knows everything about that. And I don't even know if that's a true story, but I think it probably is just from the way it was written. But I just, when I read that, I thought, man, Father, do I see people like that? Do I see people as treasures? Do I go, oh my goodness, Father, they're so precious. You know, when I listen to, he's a singer, opera, young guy. Yes, Josh Groban. See, a woman, no. I don't know if the guy's a believer, but when he sings, I tell you, there's just something that moves me about the sound that comes out of his mouth. And I mean, I think the guy, I don't know very much about him, but I know in terms of his music, it just touches me deeply. I've had many good God times listening to his music. And you know, there's just some people that just inside that are so precious. And so I want to bless you today, really just to really, when you're looking at people, when you leave this place, smile at somebody. You know, when you go to the grocery store, you pay for your gas. I know a lot of you pay, you know, I pay that way. But if you go in, you know, smile at somebody. When you're, wherever you go, just smile at somebody and say, thank you. And, you know, treat them like treasures. It's just so precious, you know, that, you know, we as believers get to be influencers in the kingdom of God. How about you stand up? I want to read something over you. Maybe some of you got a hold of this, but Elijah List comes out with some really good things. And Patricia King gave 12 blessings for 2012. And I really just, how about you close your eyes, only if you want. But I want to pray these blessings over you because I want you to believe that you're all treasures. And if right now you're going, oh, Sandra, I don't feel like a treasure. Well, you know what? God created you, and he only creates the best. And I know that today when we end, I'm going to have each of you go to somebody that you don't normally go to. No pressure, but to say something really nice to them, you know, and value them for who they are. And remember that there's always another side to that person. So I bless you that you will increase in the love of God and for others. I bless you in perfect peace, wholeness, and soundness in your heart and mind, in all my ways and in every situation. I'm just going to say it for me. That'll make it easier. I decree that I will increase in wisdom from above because I love wisdom and ask for wisdom. We all need wisdom. I decree I will increase in the grace of God that enables me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I decree in the strength of the Lord as I wait on him. I decree in divine health and healing. I decree in abundance and prosperity. All your needs will be met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I decree that you will receive revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, and his righteousness. I decree that you will receive increased manifestations of miracle-working power. I decree the increased answers to prayer as you pray according to God's will. I decree in the purity of your heart, its motives, and its passions. As a result, I will perceive God in new realms and dimensions. Wow. I decree an increase in boldness to proclaim the gospel, and as a result, many will turn to the Lord. And Father, I'm asking right now that you would just come in an incredible way right now. Father, I thank you that every single person here, Lord, that you value and love. Father, that you chose them all, whether they're rich or poor. Father, you chose them. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you saved us. Lord, I thank you for the people that you sent in our lives, the messages that we heard, the revelation, the supernatural revelation of God that came to us, that we were able to receive the love of the Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for them, Lord. I just decree your blessing over them. Father, I pray, Lord, that wherever these ones go this week, Lord, that they will see everybody as a treasure that is being wanted to be found. Lord, some of those treasures have been buried, like the $10 bill that was at the bottom of the sandbox, where, you know, it was a silly story. And yet, Lord, a lot of people have been buried at the bottom, and they want so desperately to be found. They want so desperately to be loved. And Father, I'm asking that you would give us an increased passion and compassion for the people around us. Father, I pray that when we leave this place, Father, that we would be able to encourage each other, that we would be able to encourage the people around us. Father, I pray for a genuine love for the person next to us. Father, I pray for a genuine love for the people that irritate us. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you would do a miracle in that way. Lord, I pray for a genuine love for the people that have taken advantage of us. A genuine love for the people that have stolen from us. I pray for a genuine love for the people that have abused us. And Father, you are great. You are kind. You are loving. And Lord, I thank you, Lord.